Thanks for the water.
Mm-hmm. I've been really into water lately.
That's good.
Like, I was drinking it yesterday. I'm like, this shit's so good. Big fan.
I'm glad they made this.
I'm like, why do I drink anything else, honestly? It's like good for you. And it's just like the most refreshing thing.
It really is.
Big fan. Maybe I was just really thirsty yesterday, but I don't know.
I'm glad they made it.
Yeah, definitely.
Whoever invented it.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, good at what they did.
Trade Riders podcast. We read a different trade paperback every week. I'm Daniel. He's Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do. And before we read comics, we talk about some of the news that's been going on. I don't have a whole lot, but there's some things. Do you have things?
Yeah, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go first, because I don't have a whole lot.
So, Warner Brothers, I don't know why I said it like that. Warner Brothers set to release all their 2021 films on HBO Max the same day as theater release.
Right, I saw that.
Which is nuts.
It's cool. People like, can go see not like theaters if nuts, they want.
Like, it's a dumb thing to do, and it's crazy that they're doing it. It's just crazy that it's come to that point, and they've already, like, determined...
It's like
that's the thing to do for a whole year, you know.
It's like a lot of movies too. Like I think it was a lot of the 2020 movies that were supposed to have come out this year.
Yeah, also going to be pushed back. Yeah,
yeah.
Because like theaters are open, but
it's not the right time to release movies.
And it's still they're not making nearly as much. So I guess like that'll bring more subscribers and whatnot, which is cool. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'll probably watch most of them here.
So are they all going to follow like the Wonder Woman strategy? Because I think. Are they staying on HBO or are they only there for like
a little bit? I think they'll be on HBO Max for like a month or something. I didn't really look that into it, but I've heard it on other podcasts.
Okay.
And they made it seem like that's what was happening.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
There's not a lot that I'll probably see in theaters, most likely.
I love popcorn, like especially at like the Harkins that we have here in Arizona.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's crack.
And you can just buy that individually.
Yeah, but if you take that home, it might not be like hot, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's like my thing. It's like not that's as fair. Good when it's like room temperature.
Yeah. I think going to the theater is like somewhat safe, you know? Like I think it'd be fine if you do go.
Yeah.
Like,
they have the precautions.
Proper,
yeah.
Yeah. They have the proper precautions. But yeah, I did hear about that. Probably a smart move to get people on HBO Max because they're like, oh, I don't have to go to a theater and spend a bunch of money. I can just get on this subscription.
Yeah.
Which is probably the long term play anyway. So I feel like that works. Production on Disney Plus series Obi-Wan Kenobi has apparently shifted from March 2021 to January 4th, 2021. So it got moved up.
Weird.
Yeah, so cool. I guess they're going to be cracking on that a lot sooner than they thought, which is cool because I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, do you think that's a result of like the success of Mandalorian or?
No, probably just because I imagine that they were probably a little bit conservative with the date from the beginning because with complications and stuff, and they probably didn't know how holidays in like America were going to go.
Sure.
And so maybe they were just like, we'll just plan for March, but maybe earlier. So it looks like that's getting moved up, which is nice.
So, you know the director that was like hired for the New Gods movie?
Ava DuVernay.
Damn, yeah. I would not have remembered her name.
Mm-hmm.
She's set to direct a CW series for DC called Naomi?
Yep.
What's that?
That's a newer character made by Brian Michael Bendis when he...
Ooh,
like
right.
Went
Is that
over
part of his like Bendis verse or whatever?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't part of the
that imprint that he had.
Yeah, it's not. It's not part of that. It's like a DC character, but it was one that he made when he like went over there. So she's like less than 4 years old. She's probably like, I mean, the character itself is a teenager, but the
so
character
it's like a baby,
it's yeah,
a baby superhero,
it's a baby superhero. That Ava DuVernay is like, yes,
I'd,
that
I'd
one.
I'd so watch that shit. Like,
oh, baby superhero.
I don't know
superhero.
Why. I don't know why there isn't like a Jack movie or show because that shit's hilarious.
It'd probably get old.
Maybe
it's a good bit for a little bit.
Yeah, I guess you like it so much because it's such a small part in both of those movies.
Yeah,
and so too much can make it dry.
Right, but Naomi's she's.
What's her powers?
I don't really know.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't read the series at all, but it seems like it's going pretty well. If it's only a couple years old and they're already developing something like this.
Did you know that they're making, like, you know the channel Lifetime?
Yeah.
I guess they're making, like, a Colonel Sanders biopic.
Hell yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about, but it's called A Recipe for Seduction.
Wow.
And I think it's like a romance thing or
something. I'm so into this.
And it's got like Ricky Martin playing Colonel Sanders.
That's good casting, I feel like.
He looks okay. he's like tan, and then they just like, you know, put white dye or whatever. Like
they whiteface him?
No, they went
on the beard? On
like the goatee and shit.
Oh, gotcha.
And I just like saw that. I'm like, this is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen.
Dude, the KFC marketing is like some of the wildest shit I've ever seen.
I have like a...
They made like
a Flash like comic book. It was like mm-hmm. Flash and Colonel Sanders like crossover.
Yeah, they've done that. So that's comic related. That's a superhero movie, essentially, this biopic.
Right.
They had like a video game that was like an anime video game that was like a... I forget what they call them. They're like virtual novels or something.
Okay.
And it's like, it's basically one of those games that's not really a game, but you like click through and you just read a bunch of audio and you can like sometimes decide like what to do.
Oh, like the Telltale games or whatever?
No, it's not like that at all. Oh. I mean, it's that, but less of it. It's like kind of, you just kind of get generic like pictures kind of thrown in front of you. Like it's not anything like moving. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so KFC made one for that, and it was Colonel Sanders, and it was like a dating game.
Oh man, I picked Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, they get pretty crazy with some of their stuff.
I guess the Zack Snyder Justice League universe may continue in a comic book series.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's
it.
Yep.
Okay. That's
Ben Affleck,
fine.
Ben Affleck will
Is
be
he
in
gonna
it?
Write it?
Probably not.
Well then, but who like, cares? I guess how will it be his? Like, will he just like, be like, so here's what I was thinking about doing, and then someone takes that and makes a comic book?
After Justice League comes out, that universe will just like continue. You know how like DC is like having all these like single movies that aren't connected anymore? That will continue, the non-connected universe, and then the connected universe will continue in a comic book because it probably won't continue in movies.
There's still like a DC universe though that they're rolling with. Like they'll have Wonder Woman, which will be part of everything, and then there's plans for like Aquaman 2 and like Shazam 2 and
but they probably
Black
won't
Adam.
Even talk about like Justice League, you know what I mean? It'll just be these individual movies.
Maybe. We'll
it's
see.
It's so weird how they pushed this so hard and then just all fell apart.
Yeah, and they then, came out well, with a bunch of hot garbage movies and then they kind of backed out on it. Now everybody's excited for Batman.
Yeah, and then they're like they're getting some bangers with like Wonder Woman and Joker and like other DC things that aren't connected to it.
And they are good.
What they should have done in the first place.
That's kind of what they've been doing for a while.
Yeah, and they should just continue that. Like the whole
I guess
history of like DC comic movies has been that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just trying to do what Marvel did and just didn't pan out.
I think if they had a different vision going into it, it would probably be successful, but who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I just thought that was related to the podcast.
Yeah.
That's all my news.
I think so. New Swamp Thing series in March, I believe.
Comic series by who?
Swamp Thing comic series from Ram V. I'm not sure who that is. I just screenshotted the tweet and that's what his thing is, but Mike Perkins on art, who you might know from that Iron Fist run that he did with Ed Brisson.
Oh, dude, he's good.
He's really good.
And, oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah, yeah.
And something Spicer on colors. Is it Mike Spicer?
Mike Spicer?
I think so.
I think it's, yeah.
So there's that coming, which is pretty cool. I'll probably hop on it. I always try with Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing is a very...
It's tough.
Tough. Like, I've read, like, the first book of... like the Alan Moore run, which is like the definitive kind of run.
It's
and it's very 80s.
It's an investment.
It's very slow.
Yeah.
It is good, but it's like a love story.
It's also very long. Like,
it's very long.
Like lots of issues.
Very dense. Yeah, like I just saw that they have like complete collections of that and they're fucking huge. They're like 1500 pages and there's like two of them.
Yeah, the whole saga that like is very highly praised. It's kind of, it would be tough to to read and kind of get into now, I feel like.
Maybe because it was, like, so dark as well. Like, for that time, it was kind of revolutionary or whatever.
Yeah.
But I going back to it, it is tough.
Yeah, I imagine. Did you see Alfred Molina is going to reprise his role as Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 3?
Yeah. And then they said, like, also Kirsten Dunst and all these people are coming back. And I'm like, we get it.
It's a Spider-Verse.
We know what's going to happen.
This is the screenshot that I got from,
the stuff. Oh, yeah, dude. I love that guy.
And then, yeah, so that's happening. It's going to be a Spider-Verse movie. Hopefully they don't fuck it up.
Spider-Man. Why can't they just, like, keep this under wraps and then blow everyone's minds? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I feel like people would have seen a Spider-Man 3, so it's kind of hard to keep under wraps, I guess.
I suppose.
With as many people as they're getting, but we'll see what happens. I'm not going to get my hopes up for anything until I see a trailer.
Do you think... I saw a comment on that video, and it was like that they should have, like, completed, like, a Spider-Man trilogy without this.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. I don't think, like, everything necessarily needs to be a trilogy. This is going to be a third movie, so it will be regardless, but, like, standalone Spider-Man. I think this will be, like... too much,
probably.
And but they normally do pretty good movies.
It feels kind of reactionary as well.
Yeah,
just to the success of Spider-Verse, I guess.
Like these are just such different movies, and it'll be odd, you know. And,
yeah,
and it seems like something that would only be like fan fiction, you know, or some fake trailer that you see online.
Yeah, true. And those get pretty good too.
Yeah, those are pretty solid. But like, I don't know. This seems like...
I feel like it would have been better to just keep the Spider-Man, like, and then they get, like, thrown into MCU for a little bit, and then kind of gauge the reaction maybe there before doing, like, something all in like this, because what do you do from here?
I don't know. Like, be like, all right, the...
Like,
the,
I don't know if they...
We're not going to mess with the multiverse anymore. Everyone goes home, and then we go back to the next Flavor of the Month villain.
Yeah.
Because they made it seem like Alfred Molina was going to be, like, Doc Ock in this.
He is.
Like, not there isn't, like, in this universe.
Yeah.
Not like he's coming from the Tobey Maguire verse.
That's probably what'll end up happening, but yeah.
That too. Oh, okay, that could work. And then same with, like, Electro and stuff. So they're just, like, nitpicking the good stuff.
Yeah, they're like, Jamie Foxx is good. Alfred Molina is good. They're like, we'll keep the Venom over there. They'll probably get Venom from, like, Tom Hardy's in, though. Just because it's Sony still, kind of, technically, and so that's what they want to do. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I feel like we've heard this news already. Not the Alfred Molina, but, like, you know, the Tobey Maguire. And,
yeah. What's his name? It's been Andrew Garfield. Yeah.
Andy Griffin?
It's stuff that's been kind of trickling in for a while. I wonder when this movie even comes out.
I don't know.
It seems like it's going to be forever.
Just like... When you get so much news about something, I just get, like, burnt out. Like, Justice League, I'm like, I don't care if there's anything revealed or whatever. Yeah. We've gotten two trailers that are basically the same thing.
I didn't even watch the second one.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And you just see, like...
is there another Steppenwolf classic rock song played slowly?
It's the same classic rock song.
Hallelujah?
Hallelujah. Or...
That's boring.
I think so. And so it's just the same trailer, but just with some different scenes in it. I just want it to be out, and I'll see if it sucks or not, and then we can talk about it.
Exactly, yeah. And then Skybound announced a new series called Ultra Mega from James Heron,
who's going to be. That looks crazy.
It does. It's. Do you know who James Heron is?
No.
He does some awesome shit.
Like?
The only stuff I've read from him but made me follow him is the first issue of Deceased.
Mm.
And... his shit's like completely crazy and wild, and he's done like other things that I do want to read eventually, but I follow him on Twitter, and he does like some of the coolest commissions I've ever seen.
And James Heron,
yeah.
Oh, so he's like the artist.
He's the artist. I think he's also writing it.
Yeah.
And then colors from somebody else, but it's gonna be a kaiju book, I guess.
Yeah, that was a synopsis.
Yep. So
I love monsters.
I'll read that. I looked at some of the preview pages, and it looked very looks colored, super fun. So
yeah, it comes out in March, right?
Yes, in March.
Nice.
So that's comic news. I did also have this in regards to Spider-Man, but Daredevil's back. So
yep,
there's a lot of Save Daredevil stuff going on this week. So
I don't know. I mean,
I want him back.
I do. I love. That's like one of my favorite shows ever. But yeah. Like, I don't know if we necessarily need more of it. It feels like forced and unnatural, I guess, for like just these such different platforms to like come together.
I mean, that's kind of what we wanted for Endgame.
That is what we wanted, but it would just be different. You know, I feel like the Netflix shit is such so dark compared to like the MCU.
Yeah.
And so it just would feel unnatural, just personally. But I think I'd prefer recastings.
But I mean, I feel like a lot of Daredevil comics are a lot darker than Avengers comics or Spider-Man comics, but Daredevil still shows up in those.
That's true, but it's just...
So I think that there's a way to make it work. It'll just be in a different context, but...
I'll definitely have to, like, just muscle through it.
I don't know if I would watch it. I don't know if I'd watch, like, another Daredevil series if it didn't have Charlie Cox in it. Like, I liked everybody in those shows.
Like, if there's another Daredevil series on, like, Disney Plus, you're saying you're not going to watch it.
I'd give it a shot, but I don't know, like...
It would
I can't imagine...
It would be hard to top.
Yeah.
For sure. But... I would still like give it a chance.
Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, that's all news I have for this week.
Cool, me too.
So, some good movie stuff, some good comic announcements. So, lots of good things. So now, we'll get into the book that we read this week, which was what, Daniel?
Mouse.
By Art Spiegelman.
The art is by Spiegelman.
Yes. And so, it's also by...
His name is also Art.
And Wright is also by Spiegelman.
Yeah, correct. Right.
His name's Art Spiegelman. He wrote and cartooned this book and lettered it. So
yeah, it's a black and white book.
And I found out
it's called A Survivor's Tale.
This is the only book I think we've read that is not on Comixology, so I had to buy it physically as well.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Is it? Are you sure?
I looked it up.
Huh. Weird.
And I couldn't find it. Maybe I'm dumb, but I looked up Mouse and I don't know what else would come up in place of Mouse, but there's nothing. Like when I typed it MAUS, because that's how it's spelled, because it's like German or
have
whatever.
Have you ever both had the trade?
No. So
anyway,
this is our official book club now.
Yeah. So what I didn't realize is this is the first of two.
Yeah.
And so when it ended, I was like, "Is that it?" And then I looked it up, and there's a second part.
No. So. Yeah, this one is essentially a telling of Art Spiegelman's dad, and it's like him telling Art about his time in Poland when World War II was starting.
Right.
And like that's like the book is literally like that. Like he's telling Art, and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna write this down for my comic book," and we're reading that comic book.
Right. I didn't realize that until like
I didn't either.
I looked it up later,
and it's just all of the like. All the things that he had to do to avoid kind of going to like Auschwitz and like how life's changed for him like drastically from being like this super nice dude, successful businessman to eventually like being completely poor, living in the ghetto in small rooms with a bunch of family and not having any food and having to like do illegal things because like Jews were not set up really for to live. They weren't treated as human beings. So
right.
This is like a wild book. Like this is like literature.
Yeah, this is very...
This should be like taught in schools.
This is very
like.
Heavy.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you know, it's like the Jews are depicted as mice and the yes. Germans are depicted as like rabbits or something.
Cats,
you're right.
Because, you know, and the, cat and or mice are the natural prey of cats.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then the Polish are like pigs or something.
Yeah, because that's...
Yeah.
There's a lot of pigs there, so...
Right.
And so there's a lot of like clever things that he does with that, but I feel like we don't see as many cats as I probably would have liked, but that seems like it's something that will be more so in the second volume.
Yeah, I didn't really...
For lots of reasons.
I didn't really notice cats in this. I just thought everyone were mice.
No, only the Jews are mice.
Right.
And then the cats are Nazis. And then everybody else in Poland is a pig.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's kind of like the precedent there. And he does a lot of clever stuff with it, I feel like.
Yeah. Did you know this book was the first Pulitzer Prize to go to a graphic novel?
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a big award.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's definitely like a different telling because I feel like everything that I've been taught about World War and specifically like the Jews side of it has been Holocaust, like Auschwitz and being in like the concentration camps.
Yeah, not necessarily like
but the
outskirts
like,
of that and like
And like leading up to it, like the years before the war, leading up to like during the war and how they did it and what they were told versus like what happened. And so this is like a very interesting like introspective on the what happened from somebody that lived through it and got extremely lucky on countless accounts.
Definitely.
So yeah, I thought it was super, super cool. Very like complicated, I guess, or like it's very detailed because
it's like dense because stuff like happens a lot, but and then getting used to the names is like you don't have to because like people are in and out of this book.
Yeah, exactly.
And when the names come up again, be like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. And so like it's not that hard to keep pace with it.
Yeah, the main characters that like I remembered is Art, who's the one who made this comic, but he's also the one that's like talking or interviewing his dad about the time here. And his dad's name is Vladek, who's kind of like the main character of the story. Mm-hmm. And just kind of him living through everything. There's Anja or Anna.
I think it's Anya.
Anya. That's probably what it is. It's Anya, who's the mom of Art and Vladek's original wife. And then there's Mala, who's Vladek's current wife, but they don't really get along as much.
Right.
And those are like kind of the main characters. And then there's a couple other ones that get kind of thrown in there, but
I like the style of storytelling because it goes back and forth between like this interview that he's having with his dad and then the artist's depiction of what happened.
Yeah.
Of the story that he's telling. And that's really like kind of refreshing. I don't think I've seen that necessarily,
but yeah,
it works really well with this.
Yeah. It goes back and forth between like him telling the story and it's like, oh, this is what happened here and like everything here. And then it, all of a sudden it'll like jump out because of like, something that'll happen when he's telling that story.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm cold or something.
Yeah. I'm cold. Give me a blanket or whatever. And he's like, oh, I need to go to the bank or some shit. Like,
yeah. He's like, oh, it's getting late. And
then he's like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And then that'll be like the end of that chapter. So essentially it's really good. I think it should be like this. It seems like something that'll be like read in schools.
Yeah. I don't think that's too out of reach. Cause like you never really...
I learned a lot.
I definitely learned a lot. Like, just, like, how things worked. I just... And, like, how their lives were and the different... And especially with this, like, I didn't realize it was, like, based on a true story until, like, I researched the book a little bit more.
I mean, it says a survivor's tale on the front.
A tale. And so I'm like...
Oh.
A story.
Because they're mice.
No. It's spelled like a story. So okay. I just thought it was like a comic book.
Yeah.
And so this definitely gives it way more depth.
Yeah.
Knowing that.
This is like, it's basically like a comic version of like a biography.
Yeah. It's like a memoir?
Sure.
A comic book.
I don't know what those are.
I think, really? I think it's like someone just talking about their life.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So
super cool. And I think that like the Art Spiegelman is like a really good like cartoonist.
Absolutely. I love his shading.
Yeah.
His shading is super cool.
It's either like blacks or just like straight lines that are like kind of contouring.
Yeah. And it's like he's able to have like a lot of contrast with it just being black and white. And he doesn't use grays. It's just black and white.
Straight up black and white. So it's, and a lot of the like mice look the same, but he gives you context based off like what they're wearing.
And also what they're saying.
Like, and what they're saying.
Oh, Vladek, you need to do this.
And then that person will respond, and I'm like, okay, that's Vladek, so I'll keep an eye on him. He's the one wearing the suit and tie, you know?
Yeah.
Or
he's got a little top hat or something.
Or in the present day, he's got those glasses that just sit on his nose. Like, they don't go to, like, the ears. It's just, like, little glasses that sit on his nose. It definitely
doesn't improve his vision.
Yeah, definitely not. So, yeah, it's a very interesting book and a good read,
I would say. I wish I would have known that there was two parts of this, like, going into it, because... When you look up like best comic books, this always comes up.
Yeah,
it's always on the list. It might be number one sometimes. I do think it's a very important book, but I guess my expectations were like really high. I thought there'd be like a twist or something. I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But like when this ended, I was like, it feels like there's more, and there is.
Yeah.
And so
there's a second volume. I don't know if it's the same size.
I imagine it was probably roughly the same size.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was just kind of how I absorbed it.
Yeah.
But still, really solid book.
So we'll get into it. And like we said, essentially it's a story of a present day Art Spiegelman that's going to see his dad, who's a survivor of the Holocaust, and he's talking to him to get his story about the war and his time living in it so that Art can make a comic book about it, i.e. the one that we're reading. So the dad is named Vladek. He talks about his time with Art's mom, who we know committed suicide a little bit later, but that's just kind of like extra context. And so he says that back in the day, he was like a very dashing young man, and he was kind of at the beginning fooling around with this girl named Lucia, but she ends up being a little bit too like clingy for him. And one day he goes from where he lives in Czestochowa. I wrote down the, there's a lot of like German or like foreign names that I'm not used to reading, so I wrote down the phonetic way of like saying it.
Oh, so you're like,
so
you're reading it as it's supposed to be pronounced.
Yeah, so
that's probably wise.
So he originally lived in Czestochowa, which is in Poland, I think. Another thing about this book that's pretty cool is that there's a map of Poland on the back of the book, which I frequently referenced because it has like the important cities.
And I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God damn it, I should have kept this.
Like the big city is like Sosnowitz, which is like where he ends up living like most of this story. And you like see a bunch of like the cities that he mentions. And like, I guess this is kind of like a back matter in a way.
Yeah. It shows like what parts like the general government, I guess.
Yeah.
And then
it shows the German Reich and a couple other things as well.
And I guess a part of Poland that was annexed to Russia.
Yeah.
And so that kind of comes up later.
And then bordering countries like Hungary, Slovakia, and things like that. So It's pretty cool. So anyway, Vladek goes from where he lives in Czestochowa to visit his family in Sosnowitz. And it's there that he meets Art's mom for the first time, which is Anya. And they kind of hit it off. And so, and I think one aspect of the story that I liked, or like, because there's a lot that's covered. Like, it's a very dense book. I feel like each page, like, it goes through, like, it covers so much almost. Like, in modern day comics, it would take, like, a couple pages to go from Czestochowa to, like, Sosnowitz. But here he's like, yeah, so I did this, and then I went over to Sosnowitz, and then I met your mom. Like,
right.
Like, there's a lot that gets covered.
Yeah, it's definitely dense, but it's not like there's a ton of dialogue, necessarily.
It's not like Watchmen, but I feel like it covers as much as Watchmen with less words,
in a way. Right, exactly. Like, it's not a long book, the first part. It's like 160 pages, but yeah. It definitely took a while to read.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's a lot that I wanted to, like keep track of, I guess. And, like, I ended up sweating, like, a lot of the details in this because there is a lot to it.
Sure.
But, yeah, I just kind of did the general thing. But one aspect of it that I did like that kind of showed what this time was like is that speaking in English was a very, like, suspicious act. And so...
Okay.
So when Vladek met Anya for the first time, he noticed that she was speaking English, and he also knows English, but they're supposed to be speaking in German.
Okay.
So...
What I noticed like halfway through the book is like the narration, which is just his dad telling the story. He has like the like Polish accent. Like,
yeah,
the way he talks, it's not like how like you and me talk. It's like it's someone where obviously English was his second language.
Yeah,
and I don't know why I like that so much. That like it's not told how I would tell it. It's like how someone who just learned English is telling it, and then that wasn't corrected when this was written.
Yeah, I did like that as well,
which is like super interesting.
When Vladek speaks, Art kept like a lot of like his phrasing of things, and like some of it's kind of like it's not like proper English, but it's like some of it's like a little bit backwards, but you're still given enough to like understand.
Yeah,
but you know that like he's telling the story just kind of based off how he speaks.
It kind of slows down the flow of the book just because like we're not used to reading like that or speaking like that. But I appreciate like the authenticity of it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I thought of that too, and that's definitely a good point. So after Vladek and Anya hit it off, they go back to Czestochowa, and they kind of Vladek goes back to Czestochowa, and then they kind of write back and forth, and he decides that he wants to get engaged with her, but Lucia, his his side bitch is getting like super jealous of this.
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes to move to Sosnovich, Lucia kind of freaks out. And in a last ditch effort, she tries to like get him to stay with her. But then after he leaves, it seems like Lucia sent letters over to Anya saying that Vladek was like a womanizer and only wanted the relationship for her rich family.
Right.
And he soon convinces her that this is not the case, and they end up getting engaged and they start living together.
Like, this is like what I'm talking about as far as like the crosshatching, like yeah. with the shading. It's so cool. It takes like so much time, and that's what like I really appreciate about it.
Yeah. It's either like there's no shading, there's the crosshatching, or someone's straight up in like silhouette. Because yeah. on that same page, there's art in Vladek in the present day kind of in silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a lot of really good, like, creative things that like this comic kind of does as far as like panel layout as well.
Definitely.
Like he's not afraid to have like borderless panels, or like mm-hmm. this one where like a panel's kind of crooked because someone's like a little scared or like a little worried or nervous or in some way.
Yeah.
And so like that extra context communicates the story so much more.
Uh-huh.
And that's that shit I like.
Yeah, it's not necessarily like the same you know, like layout every single page, which I think is kind of cool.
It's nice.
Like a Watchmen have like the 9-panel grid, which we're kind of used to, but this could be like any makeup of like the panels, mm-hmm. which is dope.
And there's also the old like Dark Knight Rises, like captioning that would be just not even in a panel. It would just kind of be like above or on the side of a panel. So kind of like this one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Where like, it's just kind of words on a page and they're not like sectioned
to
a certain
panel almost.
Yeah. It's not like sectioned off to a different panel, but it's just narration that doesn't need to necessarily be fit in a panel.
Yeah. Like sets up the page.
So it's cool. But anyway, we pop back into the present and the dad doesn't want Art to like put any of this in the book, which obviously it ended up going into the book because we're reading it. And Art makes the point that, you know, he wants his story to make it more human, even though they're mice. Like, he says he wants to make it more human, but they're characterized as mice. I just thought that was funny. But says, you know, he says that he's not going to mention the private things anyway. And then they kind of like end the story of that day.
Right.
So each chapter is a chunk of the story when he goes to visit his dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's like, after the first chapter, I was like, it's an interesting like narrative so far, and just like great storytelling. And I just kind of wrote, the shading of the mice is really good. And like, even though that they're uniform faces, there's enough context in like their clothing and stuff. So it's pretty stellar cartooning. Like, it's simple drawings, but to make it effective, there has to be a lot of understanding of what you're putting down on the page.
Right. Because simplicity is really hard, especially, and then filling up panels is really hard too, like backgrounds and shit.
Yeah, he doesn't really cut any corners when it comes to that either.
No, not at all.
So he's done really well. Like, just looking at some of the mice, it's like, oh, those are like some simple shapes and whatnot. But to keep everything coherent is a lot harder of like a storytelling aspect than just like drawing down the mice, you know.
Yeah, they're definitely very consistent too. He had to think of like all these outfits that the little mice are gonna
wear. He's like, this one's gonna be plaid, this one's gonna look like Han Solo a little bit, like,
he's gonna have a little mice vest.
This one's gonna have glasses.
Yeah, I mean, like, they,
I like how
they have the bodies of humans obviously, and then like the heads of mice, but like, you don't really think about that.
It's interesting because he's
putting clothes on and shit.
It's interesting because he draws five fingers, which you don't see a lot in cartooning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a full ass hand instead of like the three fingers and one thumb, which I guess is like a lot easier to like make it more like, I guess it's like, I don't know, better typically. I remember like hearing a cartoonist talk about it. It's easier to animate for sure, but it's just like easier to draw.
Yeah. It's like annoying to like fit them all on the hand, because normally you draw like the hand first and then the fingers.
Yeah.
And so it can
be a
shortcut.
I also like how he draws old people, and there's just like one line under their eyes, and you're like, oh, that's an old person.
Yeah, and then like, this guy looks like he's got some scruff.
Yeah, yeah, it's super good. It's very charming.
Dude, he like, sometimes in this book, he draws like tears, and it's just one tear on like a mouth, and it hits so hard.
Yeah,
it does. Like, no, just sad mice.
There's a couple different facial expressions, and I'm like, wow, this is not the status quo. Or like, whenever he draws someone angry, I'm like, that bitch is super angry.
It's crazy how you're limited by it because you're depicting humans as like mice, and so facial expressions would be kind of like, you know, held back.
Yeah.
But you definitely, I've never read any page of this and thought like, I'm not sure what they're feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's definitely come across very, very smoothly.
It's just like their normal conversation, or like there's some emotion going on here, which is cool.
Exactly.
So chapter two, it's, we're on a separate day, and Art goes to talk with his dad while he's like counting like a ridiculous amount of pills that he has to take now. He's got, Vladek has like some heart issues that he has now. He's had like a couple, heart attacks. I almost said heart strokes, which is kind of, I feel like it's kind of similar.
I think you're wrong.
So he has to take like a lot of drugs, but we find out that Anya isn't as like perfect as we thought, because she stayed in communication with one of her past boyfriends that is a communist, and Anya would translate messages for him, which led to an investigation from the police, and the documents that she was translated were like she gave them to like an innocent seamstress that lived in her like rich dad's apartment complex, because he like owns like a lot of
real estate.
Yeah, he owns like a lot of real estate that people take over. So she kind of like gave that to her, and the police found it, and she was kind of pinned for it. And so at that point, it almost like broke their marriage. But
yeah, because he, you know, was like a vet. He like did like 4 years and was on the reserves.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I can't have any part with like, you know, someone doing communist shit.
Yeah. He's like, you get rid of that or you get rid of me kind of deal. And so this is the first time we also see that like the Polish police are represented by pigs. And I just think that that's cool that, you know, the mice are strictly Jews. So we kind of know what their stance in like the situation is.
It definitely helps kind of separate where people are from and like who's who.
Yeah.
Cause like in real life, like, I personally couldn't point out like someone that's Jewish.
Yeah.
You know? And so like, I don't know if that was his intention, but definitely helps like knowing who's who and what they're doing.
Yeah. And I think he kind of plays on that a little bit as well, because when a little bit later in the story, when a Jew is trying to not be like seen as a Jewish person, they put on like a pig mask.
Yeah, dude.
And it's very clear to us that it's just a person with a pig mask on, but it's supposed to communicate that they are trying to like lay low and just act like a normal German or a normal like Polish person.
Do you think that's like representative of something that Jews used to do like prior?
Put on a mask?
Not like a mask, but you know, something else, like maybe like hide their hair or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's exactly, I think, what it's supposed to communicate. Because when they put on like a pig mask, it's obvious to us that it's just like a shitty like Party City mask that they just like put on their face.
You can see like the string and shit going around their head.
Yeah. But it's supposed to like kind of communicate that they're trying to blend in with everybody else, because in reality, you can't tell really.
Right.
Like someone that's Jewish just on face value.
Right.
Which is why I think they're able to like hide as like so much, but it's just funny whenever they put that on, because I think it's really effective storytelling.
Definitely.
But anyway, Vladek and Anya have their first child. His name is Richo. Actually, I need to look up that pronunciation. It's like Richie with a U at the end.
Might just be Richie.
Yeah, I'm just gonna call him Richie. I think the pronunciation is Richua, but it's spelled like Richie with a U at the end. But anyway, Vladek and Anya have their kid Richie. Art has never met this person or this kid because he ended up dying at some point during this Holocaust.
Right.
So
it's like his like brother.
It would be his brother
that he never met. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been his older brother, but he never got to like meet him or anything.
Right.
And so, that happens. Kind of heavy. Yeah. It's weird to think about in general that you could have like a sibling, but they ended up dying for just this dumb war, you know?
Right.
So, the dad opens up a factory in a place called Bielsko, and when he tries to find an apartment over there, Anya gets like very depressed. So her and Vladek go to a sanatorium in Czechoslovakia to help her like rehabilitate. And during that time, the dad, who's like a really rich businessman, is helping to take over the factory that Vladek opens while Anya gets kind of rehabilitated. And it's on the way to Czechoslovakia that they first see the swastika just before the war. So we kind of know that like something's coming.
Yeah.
Something's like on the way.
That was like probably my favorite page. just because, like,
yeah,
it was such like a like an important part of like his life, and like it just kind of marked, or like we know what happens, but like that's such like a big you know,
milestone,
a checkpoint, I guess, for this book,
for like what's to come. Yeah. And we know it's important as well, because there's typically a lot of panels on the page, but when he first sees that like swastika flag, it's like half the page. It's like half the page, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it's kind of like a big moment. So there's cool storytelling like that as well.
Definitely.
This is also when we first see cats cats represented as Nazis. German or Nazis.
Yeah.
And we kind of see that, I don't know, they don't like Jews. It's the normal thing. But anyway, when Anya feels better, they go back to Bielsko to find the factory was robbed while Anya's dad was like looking over it. But they're able to like get back up on their feet with Anya's dad's help. I forget his name. And then a draft ended up hitting. So Anya and Richie move back to Sosnovich while Vladek goes to war. And the story ends there for this chapter, while Vladek tells Art like kind of about his bad eyes. So there's like a lot of micro moments in this book that, like, of course I'm sweating the details, but I really like a lot of the interaction between Art and his dad. And it's kind of weird to see that he's like a super nice and like good guy when he's telling this story, because he was, but when it kind of jumps back to the present and there's like a lot of banter between him and Art, or Vladek and Mala, his new wife,
mm-hmm.
you see he's kind of like hardened a little bit, or a little bit more bitter about things.
A little grouchy.
Strict. Yeah, he's pretty grouchy. So I think the book is worth reading for that alone. So chapter 3, Art is back at his parents' place for dinner, and we kind of see how rough he is with Mala before getting into like some more war story. But Vladek was only trained for a few days before going into combat, which kind of shows how quickly they needed kind of just bodies to go out to the war. But he talked about his attempts to evade the draft by like starving himself and making himself sick. But eventually he did end up going into the army.
His dad like used to pull out teeth.
Like, yeah.
I was like, God damn.
I guess if you lost 12 or more teeth, you wouldn't go into the army. And so his dad pulled out 14 of his own teeth.
Yeah.
To avoid the draft.
Overkill.
And for Vladek to avoid the draft 1 year, he only ate like saltine crackers and like a little bit of water every once in a while for like a couple months, so that he would be under the weight.
Yeah, just like look malnourished.
Yeah, essentially. So it kind of shows the the span that people would go to just avoid this kind of thing.
So it flashes back to him like in the war.
Yeah,
he's like on the ground, like sharpshooting.
He's in the trenches.
Yeah, there's like a river that they're shooting on the other side of. He doesn't even like see anything. He's just like opening fire. He sees like a tree move, and it's got arms and legs, so he shoots at that,
and he ends up killing that person, which is a Nazi.
Mm-hmm. And then Nazis like come up and like find him, and then they notice that like his gun's hot, so he's been firing at them, and he's like, oh, I've just been shooting in the air, I swear.
And I like that scene, because when he shoots that person in the tree, we don't even like see details of that person's face, which kind of knows that that was like, or it tells us that that was just, he just killed someone that's like vague to him.
He probably didn't even see their face.
Yeah. He didn't see the face at all. So he just like, this is just some random person that was caught up in the war, and he ended up killing him. And I think that like the fact that there was no detail in the face, and it was just like surprised eyes that we can kind of see,
uh-huh.
It works really well, but right. He does end up finding him later, but when he was captured, he was taken to a prisoner of war camp to live in like a tent for a while doing like a bunch of labor in the cold. And he was there with like kind of a big group of people that were also prisoners of war. And they later get taken to like a slightly better camp that's inside a cabin, but they're doing much harder work, basically moving like a mountain with picks and shovels, because I guess it was easier for like German forces to move across or something, but regardless, very tough labor. And it was during this time that he had a dream of being told that he would be released on Parshas Truma, which is a yearly Jewish event where they kind of worship some like Jewish text, I believe, is what I got from when I looked it up. But so he had this dream that he was going to be released on that day. which actually ended up happening. And so now he's out of the war and he's like heading back home. But I like that dream sequence because up to this point, things are like, they're like pretty cartoony as far as like the different people that are there. But this one shows that art has like this element of being abstract and like doing some of these cool elements like this dream sequence, because when he's asleep, it's like this mouse doctor that's kind of like, it seems like they're almost like in space and this mouse doctor is like touching him and like doing stuff. But I just liked how it was represented. On his way back home, he was taken past his original destination of Sosnovich, and he was taken to Lublin instead, which is an area in the protectorate zone of Poland. And he was taken to another camp instead, but he was able to be saved by a friend of his when he registered as his cousin. And he was able to like kind of finesse his way onto a train going from the protectorate part of Poland to the Reich, where Sosnovich is.
Right.
And so he had to get like pretty lucky. I think this is the first time we see him put on like a mask face or a pig mask to kind of act like he's Polish. He has to like kind of finesse the train operator and be like, oh man, I hate the Germans, you know, like, you want to help me out,
because the Polish like hate the Germans as well.
Yeah, he's like, man, those stupid Germans, I wish I could get back to my area. And he's like, don't worry, homie, I got you. And he like lets him go on the train. So he clearly has to be like very good with people, because he ends up, you know, using a lot of favors a lot in this story.
Yeah, definitely.
And so he's able to reunite with his parents and his family this way before stopping the story with art for that day. The next chapter, this issue covers like a lot, but it's like the first experiences of Jews being taken to Auschwitz and officially like when their lives are changed because like they are Jewish people. So essentially when he does get back home, the family of 12 that he's been with this whole time, like Anya's side of the family, has been eating like very little, even though that they're like this rich family, because Anya's dad is like a rich businessman, and their company is now being run by an Aryan person, because now there's no Jewish people that are able to run businesses. So that's kind of like a German law that's been enforced now. So in an effort to get more money, he does secret business stuff on this street called Madre Zajewski, and that's where like other people will do secret business to try and get themselves money, like kind of illegally, but it's not really like illegal. It's just kind of what Germans enforced.
Right.
And he also noticed like during this time, he noticed some Nazis that are like beating and taking Jews that have like no papers, which is something that's super important at this point. And Vladek's friend, Ilzeki, took him in and told him about his plan to hide his son with somebody else that can keep him safe while all this kind of blows over. And so Vladek thinks that that's like a good idea, and so he kind of brings that back to like his family, and they quickly deny it, saying that they're like safer together. But then Vladek reveals in like the present that Ilzeki didn't make it out of the war, but his son survived while Richie did not, like their son. And so like that's just like, it's so crazy to ponder that like some of these decisions that these people would have to make, like they don't know if that's safe because it's essentially some stranger. But
yeah,
like I could understand how it might be easier to think that it's better to keep your child with you, but it wasn't true in this case.
Yeah, like looking back, like even though like what seemed like the wrong decision ended up being the thing you probably should have done.
Yeah,
which is like crazy that they just like hit you with that rather than like telling you about it later.
Yeah,
which
is like exactly
really cool.
And it just, the way that he portrays it, it's just like him on the bike, and he's like kind of being calm, but when he's like telling about that son remained alive, but his did not, he's like kind of going a little bit, he's like pedaling harder on the bike, and then he just like stops. And it's just, it's so sad. Like the way that he like portrays it, I think is done really well. But yeah, also when Anya is like saying like, we will never give up my baby, the eyes, the way that like the eyes are like shaded around her eyes, like, yeah, and everything.
They look like darkened and like,
it's like
bloodshot almost.
It's like, like a fierce, like, no, like, this is never going to happen. She's, like, being very protective of Richio.
I think, like, I like this version of the storytelling, being like, oh, my son didn't survive or whatever. I think it would also work if they didn't reveal that until that happened in the book, you know, as far as his storytelling.
Yeah.
But I think this is still really cool.
I like seeing it where you're like, this is a pinnacle decision I could have made. And then we immediately like know what happens. Like,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of decisions he has to make. And it's like, you absolutely like can't know which one is like going to keep you the most safe or which one's like the right decisions.
Right.
But I like knowing that like, if I had done with this, like if I had done this, then I would have died with this group of people. Or...
Yeah.
Had I not done, like, had I gone with this person, I would have been safe, but I didn't because it was sketchy, you know?
Yeah, like, he knows, like, because his friend's son survived, that his son probably would have survived, too, if he went with him.
Correct. So, just impossible decisions.
Because it'd be, like, super hard for us to, like, remember later in the book when we reveal that Richu's, like, died, that he would have survived if he went with...
Ilzeki. Yeah.
The fact that they reveal that immediately, like, adds, like, a lot to the book.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it would have been hard to remember, like, the result of all these decisions, so I like that this is kind of like a storytelling.
Yeah, he's legit just, like...
He's like, if I'd done this, it would have been a lot different.
It's, like, spoilers, but, like, in a good way, I guess.
But things get, like, those questions get resolved immediately, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
So, after a while, the family of 12 that Vladek was living with moved into like a ghetto to live now in just like 2.5 rooms, which they were super lucky to get anyway. But some of Vladek's secret business partners got hanged and were displayed for a week as like a scare tactic by the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a pretty heavy moment as well, just like showing how sad it was and how much of that like affected Vladek, because like he just like keeps remembering things or remembering that. But he almost even got caught himself one time when he was like delivering sugar or whatever, and he had to like go to a random business and be like, hey, we work together, right? And that person like sees Nazis that are behind him and he's like, yes.
Right.
And ended up working out for him. So a lot of things that he had to like think on his toes for. But
when his dad's actually telling the story, like, art doesn't like fix it. Like,
yeah,
chronologically. Sometimes he'll like go back and be like, oh yeah, there's actually this thing that happened too. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool because it feels authentic.
Yeah, it doesn't make it, like, simpler, but the authenticity is way better.
Like, if I was telling a story that happened over 6 years, 5 or 6 years...
You're gonna forget some shit.
I would forget some shit, but I would also not tell it in perfect chronological order.
Right.
So, and that's kind of what happens in this book. He kind of, like, jumps around, and Art has to be like, make sure... Let's go back to 1941, you know?
Yeah, because he jumps ahead, for sure.
Yeah, so I think that... I do appreciate that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his business partners get hanged and he's a little freaked out, almost gets caught. Oh yeah, then soon after, any Jew over 70 had to be sent away to what they find out later to be Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
And so they attempted to hide Anya's grandparents by putting them in like this bunker that they just like engineered. There's a lot of really like,
there's so many bunkers.
There's so many like cool bunkers too.
Yeah, one was, like, below, like, this coal thing.
Yeah, one was, like, in an attic that you go through a chandelier for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy.
This one's, like, a shed that has, like, a false wall.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Just the amount that they go through to, like, create these bunkers, like, it makes sense because it's people's lives on the line. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they hide Anya's parents in one of the bunkers, but they were threatened. Nazis knew that the grandparents were here, and they tried to play it off as like, oh, they'd left and we don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Then Nazis would come back and be like, if they're not here next week, we're going to take 2 people from your family in place of them. And so eventually the grandparents end up going anyway. And that, you know, soon after that, the announcement came that every Jew in Sosnovich had to register at a stadium on like a certain day. And so there on that day, they would either stamp your papers and send you to the right, which meant that you were staying in Sosnovich, or they wouldn't stamp and send you off to the left side of the stadium, and you basically wouldn't be seen again. And so the left is where the mostly like elderly people and like families with lots of children and like jobless people would go.
Yeah, I guess like having like 4 children is like too much or something.
Yeah, which I don't really understand.
They're really like filtering these people out by like different rounds, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
What's like kind of a heavy line that he says a couple times is like, I never heard from them again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus.
Like, to think that like thing that happened so fast is like the last thing that you
you ever, don't realize that that's the last time you see them.
Yeah.
And then it just was.
Or there's a lot of times where he's like, I wasn't sure if I would, I couldn't have known if I would ever talk to them again. Mm-hmm. Like after that moment. So it's crazy that they get forced apart and like, that's just it.
Right.
There's nothing more. You know, Vladek and Anya, along with most of like her family, were on the right, and they were part of the 1/3 of Jewish people that were still safe in Sosnovich. So, and that's kind of where this issue ends. And there's like some extra conversation with Mala and Art to kind of tell Snow that their relationship isn't as far from perfect, but that's kind of where that chapter ends.
They keep like hinting that like Mala just really wants to keep renegotiating the will, making sure that of Vladek, and because he might die because of heart problems and whatnot, and she just always wants like money to go do things and whatnot.
It's hard to tell though.
Yeah, she doesn't seem super greedy. I think Vladek is just very conservative with his money.
I think he is, and like obviously Anya died, which is his first wife, and then he gets remarried, and Mala is also a Holocaust survivor, but she seems like pretty nice, you know.
Yeah,
she and does Vladek a lot is like him. Definitely strict, that you can tell in this book, and so it's like, but maybe there is an element of that.
I feel like it's so, like there's a ton of money to be left for like Art or something, and that we'll know about like in the second book, or maybe they'll expand on that more.
It was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow. Yeah. But anyway, going back to like that, the stadium part.
Mm-hmm.
These are like kind of the details that like we just weren't taught. Like we just don't know. Like
yeah.
How like the process of, you know, some Jews stay because of this and like whatnot, and
yeah,
just like the kind of details that he's able to remember and tell us about, like the entire like experience is like crazy.
Yeah, like I didn't know that the elderly were taken away, but they tried to, like Nazis tried to, I guess, disguise it as they were going to an elderly home in a different place because they were able to be like better supported, as they put it, but really they were just straight up lying and they were taking people to Auschwitz.
Right.
So like that's another part where it's like it went in waves. And it started with like elderly people, and you would think that, you know, that kind of makes sense. Like, I guess you can kind of like make that make sense if there is like a big war going on. So I could get why people would willingly go, but I don't know. It's just crazy that like how many like Jews were taken like in waves, essentially.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I guess it is. Can be hard to transport that many people like all at once, so yeah. I guess that's kind of why it was split up.
And like the Nazi like strategy for doing all of it is just it's crazy to hear about. So yeah, chapter 5. So this one starts with Art getting a call from his dad kind of in the early morning about a drain pipe needing to be fixed, and I guess Vladek tried fixing it himself, but he kind of needs like a younger person to like give it a go. And Art denies him, saying that he's never really been good at that kind of stuff. But really, whenever he has tried to do that stuff as a kid, Vladek was always, like, super hard on him. And Art says that was probably what contributed to him becoming, like, an artist. Is because mm-hmm. that's, like, a space that he didn't have to compete with his father on.
Right.
And so I thought that was, like, an interesting, like, little tidbit that he throws in here.
Yeah, I don't think... Like, you like to, like, color stuff, and I like to make music and stuff, but I don't think, like, that's because our dad, like, didn't think we could fix anything.
No, I just like it. You know, yeah. Our dad's very supportive, but I could see why someone would be turned to something completely different from their dad, because their dad was, like, super, like, strict.
Right. You know?
So, anyway, Art gets, like, a little bit more pissed at his dad than usual, but Mala thinks, you know, and then eventually that drain pipe thing gets resolved. When he goes to see his dad like a week later, the dad's like a little bit more pissed than usual, but Mala thinks that it's because Vladek found a different comic that Art had made about his mother's death. Mm-hmm. And so he like rereads the comic, which allows us to see like a very like visceral telling of how his mom Anya like killed herself.
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction from like his and his father. And it was very clear that it was like hard for him as a child to have to support his father with grieving. And so they talk about it, and Vladek says that it was, like, good for him to get out of his feelings and whatnot, but, yeah. And that comic scene is, like, awesome.
This is, like,
it's like
super different artwork compared to the rest of it. It's, like, actual people and whatnot. And
it's, like, impressive, because it goes from, like, simple cartooning to, like, Renaissance-y looking art.
Yeah, the panels are much smaller and like the letters are much smaller, but
I like that we see art's like thumb like reading the actual like comic. So it's like
notice that.
It's like him holding the book. And so like we're just taking like his point of view, I guess, of him just like reading his own comic.
Right.
But yeah, it's like
there's just like four pages of that.
It's really good and like yeah, completely different art style that involves like a lot more lines.
Way more detail. Like the texture and like
and a lot
clothing
more,
and stuff like that in the walls.
And a lot more like exaggerated like limbs and faces. And yeah, it's really cool to look at.
Definitely.
Yeah, it kind of just tells that story of Anya's mom like dying, killing herself, and then, you know, what art had to do to support his dad. They end up talking more about Vladek's story, and they start to realize that more and more Jews are being taken to Auschwitz. So they arrange to have Richie, I'll never get that name, I don't think.
Richie.
But
Rich.
So they arrange to have their kid, along with a few other kids, taken elsewhere, like away from the Germans, as like more and more Jews are being taken. But this ended up being the last time that they saw their own kid, because Germans showed up to the spot that all the kids were being hidden. And so rather than like having the children taken to go to Auschwitz, the caretaker poisoned herself and the kids to like save them from it.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
They like didn't want to go to Auschwitz.
Yeah. And there's like a little bit of a telling of like what children had to like do in Auschwitz. And part of that involved like them doing work. But they would even take kids as young as like 2 or 3 years old. And obviously they'd be very shocked and like disturbed by the whole situation. And there were even like a few kids that were like swinged against the wall by the legs to get them to like stop crying.
Right.
Like that's how brutal that they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than having to have the kids experience that, that caretaker poisoned all of them, which is how Vladek's firstborn dies, which is crazy.
Right.
So, so now it's kind of just down to Art's mom, dad, and then their kind of rich parents, along with a couple other people. But he tells Art about the first few bunkers that they made in Sosnovich, and they eventually get caught by like a snitch that's acting as like a hungry like Jewish person, and they were taken to a holding building to wait for vans that take people to Auschwitz. But they managed to escape with some money that Vladek had given to his cousin to be kind of like smuggled off. But he wanted that to be for his whole family, but ended up only being Anya and Vladek, whereas his father and mother-in-law were kept in that sorting building and taken to Auschwitz. And they later died to the gas that was in the Holocaust.
Yeah, there's this pretty heavy part. It's like his like father-in-law, like, you know, like crying in the window, and it says he was a millionaire, but even this didn't save him his life.
Yeah, that was, I remember that one.
I was like, God, geez.
That's super heavy, because no matter what like your social class is or what your, you know, physical capability is, as long as you're like Jewish, like to the Nazis, then it's like you're just not, right, you're not human essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just treat you all the same, which is wild to think about. Like he has, this rich dad has had all this opportunity that just got stripped away from him. Like they lived in a mansion down to the ghetto, down to being starved essentially because they wouldn't get fed, and then mm-hmm. just leading to that, which is super heavy.
Right.
But this kind of ends with them, or the storytelling for this one ends with them arriving at the bank, and Vladek gets a key for Art so that he can have access to his savings if he, in the event that Vladek dies soon.
Yeah, his like security deposit box or whatever.
Yeah, so that's kind of in the present, he's kind of talking to him about like, here's all my savings. There's like some really worthwhile shit in here. And he's like, I'm giving this to you because if I die, then Mala will take all the money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of that in there as well. Yeah, going into the last chapter, chapter 6, Art stops in to see his dad again, but he has a conversation with Mala, and she talks about how she basically gets treated like a maid, and how cheap like Vladek is with his money, which is kind of pretty standard and known for Art. But then he talks about needing his like he wants to have his mother's diary, because I guess Anya kept a diary of like her writings during like Auschwitz and things, and shortly after, that Art could use for his book. But yeah, so he's talking about his mom's diary before he witnesses another argument from Mala and Vladek. And then Art and Vladek go out to the garden to tell kind of like the last part of his story that's in this volume. But it's interesting to see just kind of how different Vladek is now, rather than all that he did for Anya during like this time. It's right. Just kind of crazy. And he has money. Like, I think it was in this scene that Mala mentions that he has like hundreds of thousands of dollars, but he still gets mad at Mala when she goes to like a hairdresser.
Right. You
know? So even like the little things, he's just kind of been a cheapskate his whole life, but I assume that's because he wants to keep that money for Art, who I assume is his only kid.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy how they got food during that time. Like, they had to trade like valuables for like credits or something, or like whatever they were called.
They're like coupons or something.
Yeah, they call them like coupons, and like that you use the coupons for food. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I don't know if that has like some sort of, because he had definitely had to be like super conservative with his money during that time to make sure he had like a place to stay and like stuff to eat while this is going on, because you don't know when you're going to get more money.
Yeah,
you're not working.
It seems like he utilizes like a lot of what his possessions from before in order to like help him carry the stuff out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he did have to be like super conservative with it in order to like make it last for as long as it did.
Right.
So that's probably, it definitely plays a part into like how much Vladek thinks is like the standard of living rather than what maybe Mala might be used to. But right. Again, Mala did also live through Auschwitz, so it's kind of, maybe he's just hard on her. It's kind of hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, continuing on with the story, it's now 1944, and Vladek and Anya are the only ones left of like their kind of family or like their group. And so they wander back to Sosnovich on foot, and they needed a place to hide. So they kind of bounce back and forth between a barn that belonged to the janitor that used to work for Anya's rich dad. And then they kind of jumped from there to like a friend that Vladek had in the black market. They would go to their attic, to that person's attic.
Mm-hmm.
So they went from the barn to the attic and then back to the barn when there were like investigations at the black market friend's house. And then they would go back to the attic once it was safe again. So they were kind of like bouncing back and forth.
Right.
However, when they were in the attic, the wife had her like German husband that would come back for like 10 days every 3 months, and they had to like hide and stay quiet up there the whole time. And they also had to make sure that the child that was at that house knew to like lie about them living there.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot of different variables that they have to like, it's not realistic that they could stay there for years, you know? And so Vladek had to, with all that going on, he had to nail down like his like Nazi acting. And so like he had to investigate like a safer place to live. So when he was going out to try and find food or like a safer place to live, he would act as a Nazi and he'd put on his little pig face to act like a normal like Polish person, but just to like walk through the streets.
Yeah. And say like Heil Hitler or whatever.
Yeah. It reminds me of like that scene from Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
Where they would act like Germans and be like, Heil Hitler. And then just like they would all say that as like a hi.
Uh-huh.
Or as like a greeting.
Right.
So lots of moving back and forth, but yeah, knowing that this wasn't a safe hiding spot for years to come, Vladek wanted to find like a different option. And so he ended up hearing about some smugglers that were taking Jews to Hungary to live free from like another friend that he had in the black market. He used a lot of his connections.
Well, it was like the same person who was hiding them in their attic, right? Like,
was it? Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, they knew the person. They knew the smugglers.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, he heard about some of those smugglers, and Anya's like pretty sketched out about the whole smuggling thing. And so they decide to wait on that while they wait for a different person to get through. And they're going to wait for his letter like back to them to let him know that like it's good and that it'll have his signature and everything before they act on it. Once they do end up getting that letter a few days later, they decided to go with it. And so they're going to go get smuggled over to Hungary. But after being smuggled onto like a trolley that was taking them, the German Gestapo like raid it within an hour of them being on it, and they find Vladek and Anya. And so the last of Vladek's story here is him being taken to Auschwitz and being separated from Anya, not knowing if they'd ever see each other again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like crazy to go through all of that and then kind of have like your luck run out on you, especially after like everything that they went through, knowing that everything that they went through those years, and then all of a sudden just being ripped apart and not knowing if you'd ever see her again.
Right.
It's just crazy. That's kind of like where the Vladek history kind of ends, and then the story itself ends with Art being like, oh wow, that's crazy, I want to take a look at Mom's diary so I can use it for my story. But Vladek admits to burning them when he had like a super bad day once.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to like, I guess, think about what maybe Anya would have went through, or maybe he wants to like get rid of all relics of like that time.
Yeah, or maybe he's trying to like move on or something. That's kind of what I got from it.
That's kind of what I got as well. And so he ended up burning them, and Art gets like super pissed and he like leaves.
Yeah, he like calls him like a murderer.
Yeah.
For like, you know, burning like things that were her memory.
Yeah, that's like her last like remnants of her life and like her thoughts that were in a diary, and he just burns them. So he calls him a murderer.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of, I mean, the gist. There's obviously a lot more details in here that would take forever to cover, but it's like really, really like, it's a heavy book.
It is very heavy. I think this is important.
It
like,
is.
I think like comic books, they are to be like entertaining and whatnot, but I think it's more valuable when they can be used as teaching tactics.
Yeah.
And especially in an entertaining way, which is cool.
Yeah, like when you think about, you know, whenever the teacher's hung over and they put on like a movie and it's like, yeah, they're learning. Like, this is what I feel like this could be, you know?
Yeah.
Not like when the teacher's like, hung over.
Just read some comics or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's kind of like comics isn't all just some buff dudes and women in spandex hitting each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's historical aspects to it too, and a lot of things that you can learn. So it's cool. It was cool reading that.
Definitely. Good pick, Nathan.
And now I'll put it on the shelf. Oh, yeah, I did pick that, didn't I? I'm going to mark that off the list.
There wasn't any back matter on this.
They're kind of, there's no, like, immediate back matter, but there's, like, a little telling of Art Spiegelman, who's, like, the co-founder/editor of Raw, and it's, like, the acclaimed magazine. He does, like, other comics as well that was published on, like, New York Times, Playboy, I guess, and some other things. So, and he also got a nomination for the National Book Critics Circle Award, and then just kind of says that he lives in New York right now. So, and then on the back of the page, it's the map of Poland with like all the places that he mentions, so that we kind of get a better context of like where Auschwitz is, where Sosnowitz is, where like Warsaw, things like that. Yeah, that's really it for back matter matters though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, good book. Read it if you want to learn.
Yeah. So now we go into our pull list.
Yes, so now we go into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
I always forget about that part.
Yeah.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
So,
I didn't get anything.
You didn't?
This week. Yeah, there's nothing in our pull list that came out this week.
Really?
And so, yeah.
Not even Batman Black and White?
I didn't see that. It came out.
It did come out. It's a little thick thing.
Who's writing that?
It's like an anthology of like the best people.
Oh, okay.
Like, all definitely right, go get
I'll,
it.
I guess I'll go today.
Like, name a good person.
Greg Capullo.
He's in there.
Jim Lee.
I think he's in there. Did you say Jorge? Yeah, he's in there.
Yeah.
Did you say David Aja?
Ooh.
He's in there. I haven't read it yet, but I just know those people.
Darwin Cook.
He's not in there. He's dead.
Yeah. Mike Allred in there?
No.
Must not be that great.
Has he done Batman? I would love to read Mike Allred Batman.
He's done Batman 66.
Yeah, he did 66. That's so perfect for him.
It's the only thing I would want him to do.
I feel like that's almost like a typecast in a way, because he always does like funky like 80s style stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him on like a main Batman book.
That'd be fun. I would love it.
Like,
I don't know if it'd fit, but I'd love it.
I would love it too.
So the writer would definitely have to adjust their writing.
The tone would have to be different.
His art.
It would have to be like a,
Like actual, like, 80s comic books, like, or 70s comic books.
Maybe. I feel like it'd have to be, like, the same kind of transition when, like, Mark Waid and Chris Samnee did Daredevil. Because, okay, like, Daredevil's, yeah, like, super gritty and stuff, and, like, oh, I'm so sad, and I'm blind, and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when Mark Waid and Chris Samnee did it, it was definitely, like, a lighter touch to it.
Very colorful.
Yeah, super colorful. Still, like, kind of heavy, but I think Mike Allred could do that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So he's got the chops for it.
So, anyway, that came out, and I picked that up. And the only other two things that I got were, three things, actually. One I'm really excited about. I got Crossover 2,
okay,
from Donnie Cates and Jeff Shaw. I haven't read the first one yet. Stillwater number 3 from Chip Zdarsky.
Did that? I thought that came out already.
Maybe I just saw it this week and I picked it up.
Okay.
But the thing that I ended up buying on Comixology, because I saw that it was released, was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin book.
What's that one about? Oh, what's that one about?
So that one essentially is, it's like in the future, like, and 3 of the 4 turtles are dead, but we don't know which one is the last one that's still alive. And it's basically like a redemption story. And so that last turtle, whoever's alive, whoever it is, is wearing a black mask rather than one of the colored ones. And he has all of the weapons from his brothers. So
why didn't you get that at the store?
Because it sold out super quick. So I bought it on Comixology and I was reading it while I was at the gym.
Ah, shit. Do you read like a page in between sets?
Yeah, I do.
That's so fucking smart. Yeah. I thought about that, but I never do it.
I put a timer because I get really like invested in books and I could read like 4 pages and be like, what was that, like a minute? But it'd probably be like 10.
Right.
So I put a timer and like, I typically like read a page, but it's really good. I think you should like, it's 40 pages. Like it's a big first issue. I think it's only going to be like 3 parts. I'm not finished with it yet.
I'll see if it's at Ash Avenue, but I doubt it will be since it was sold out at, you know, where you go.
Yeah.
Samurai.
Well, I did see it at a shop because I went to a different one that I normally go to because it was by Sophia's place.
Oh, okay.
She lives like so close to a comic book shop. It's ridiculous.
Like closer than I do?
She lives closer to, I think so, actually. Wow.
What's it called?
It's like Amazing Adventure Comics or something. It's in Scottsdale, Arizona. Okay. And the guy there was super nice.
Cool. We love nice comic book clerks.
It's kind of like, they can be dicks sometimes. Like, I really don't like Greg's Comics.
Is that a store?
Yeah, it's in like Mesa.
I wouldn't really go that to shop? Mesa for like comics because of that.
Well, Samurai's good. That's in Mesa.
Oh, I just know the one in like Phoenix, but like they just get like snobby, you know?
They kind of
like,
do.
They don't like anything that's coming out,
and like there are some shops that I'm like, why would you run it like this? And I don't like, I'm just gonna say it, like Brandon's Comics is okay. Like one that's in, I think it's technically in Chandler, but it's like Chandler Tempe. Okay. Actually, I think it's in Tempe, but the way that he like organizes it is not favorable to me.
Why?
Because he mixes in the new stuff with old, like, stuff that's current.
I don't like
that. And it's hard to, like, figure out, like, I like to know, like, everything here's new, that's new this week, and I'll pick those up based off what I've been reading.
Right.
But he, like, mixes all that in together, and it's, like, I'm pretty sure at one point when I was in there, it was organized reverse alphabetically from Z to A. And I was like, what is going on here? And I was like, hey, do you have this issue? And he's like, no, I don't. But if you want to write your name up on the wall over here and tell me what series you like, I'll order them. And then you could just pick it up then. And I'm like, I don't like this system at all. So I just left. But
yeah, I normally just like ask for things like, I'll order it for you and put it in your box. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it gets there when it gets there.
Yeah. I haven't had a box since I stopped going to Ash.
Yeah, do you keep moving?
I do. But they're opening one in Chandler. They're opening a Samurai Comics in Chandler.
By you?
Yeah, it's going to be on Alma School in Warner, so it's like literally a mile away.
Oh, that's 2 miles
away. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're on Val Vista?
Alma School and Chandler Boulevard, so it's like 2 miles away. Oh,
dope.
So I'm really excited about that, but I'm definitely going to open like a box when they first open.
Yeah, for sure.
It'll be sweet.
That'd be sick.
But anyway, what was I saying? They had
Last Ronin?
Yeah, they had the Last Ronin at the Scottsdale one, so it might still be at Ash.
Okay, we'll see. But I love the concept of it.
Eastman and Laird.
Fuck yeah.
And dude, whoever does the art, I can't remember if it's Eastman or Laird. I think it's Eastman. He is fucking on fire, dude. His shit is so fresh to me.
I thought it was Laird, but I could be wrong. I think like Eastman had like the concept art. of the Ninja Turtles, and then Laird does like the interiors and stuff. But Eastman does like the writing.
Hold on, actually, I'll look it up. I'm pretty sure it gets credited on that book.
It's already got like 500 reviews on Comixology, dude. It's which is like unheard of.
Yeah, it really is. It's really good. Like, definitely, we should do like
Eastman does art.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, dude, we should do like the first trade TMNT of like the newest run of TMNT. It's really fucking solid.
Did you read it?
Yeah, I got it for Brian for like Christmas one year.
You got him the first ever trade, though.
No. That's the one. It's the first of the most recent.
Oh, really?
Run, because it's like gritty.
Yeah, I love that shit.
Yeah,
it's sick. It's so good. Like the last Ronin, like his art. I was like, he's still got it. You know.
Let's take a look.
It's very fresh. Like, I'll show you just one page that I saw, and I was like, I would fucking.
It looks good. Yeah,
I would kill for this page right here. Because it's him, like, all bloody, and he's like,
Ninja Stars.
It's like this one right here. He's like on his knees. He's
fucking jacked.
He is jacked, dude. And I'm like, he looks great. Like, I just love how
I just want bulky. The physique of a Ninja Turtle.
I know.
That'd be so sick.
He's like all bloody, and like, it's awesome. Like, I can't wait to see how this pans out.
It's dope how it's like the cover, it has all of their weapons on his back.
Yeah, because he's using all of their weapons together.
Yeah, that's sexy.
It's so good. And he uses it like. He uses it like all of the different weapons for whenever he needs, like,
I'd fucking hope so.
Yeah. So anyway, I read that, and that's probably what I would, that'd probably be my top pick of the week. I can't remember if I think it came out last week actually, but I saw it on Comixology and I was like, I'm gonna read that.
So. Okay. Did you watch anything?
We watched Jojo Rabbit.
We did. Did you like it?
That was another German-esque story.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was great.
I'm glad you liked it.
Definitely it's a slightly excellent. Different tone.
Yeah, definitely.
No, Taika Waititi is awesome, and I knew that I would like it, but yeah, I think that was like super good.
Yeah.
And just kind of telling of like basically what young people were kind of like brainwashed to believe versus like
right
what is like the reality, which is just they're also people. But yeah. I really like the girl's character in that, and she was kind of like playing into like, oh yeah, I'm gonna eat your brains or whatever.
Yeah,
so
like we hang from the ceilings like bats and shit.
Like some really good jokes, and I told you I think they land a lot better because they have the funny German accents.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. So super good movie.
Yeah, great movie. For if you haven't seen it, go see it. I think everyone should.
Yeah, I think everyone should as well. And then we also saw the Lego Star Wars holiday special.
I forgot about that. Oh, man. What a
solid 48-minute film.
Yeah, I think they got a lot done. They kind of touched on everything that you remember in Star Wars.
If you know a Star Wars meme, it's been in there.
Yeah, a lot of memes.
Even McClunky.
What?
Even the, like, McClunky thing.
What is that?
It's when one of the original Star Wars movies, the one with Guido in it. Is that A New Hope?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in A New Hope.
Oh, the character that
Guido, like, says McClunky before he, like, shoots Anakin first. Or not Anakin, Han first. Like, even, like, something as recent as that was in this, like,
movie. Yeah, they touched on, like, all the trilogies, which is sick.
They touched on Kylo Ren having a weird pant. Like, having weird pants. Remember?
No, what was wrong with his pants?
He was like shirtless.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they touched on that. But I feel like the beginning, I was like, oh no, this is gonna suck and like not be interesting at all. But I feel like in the middle when they started doing like time travel stuff,
yeah,
I was like, this is fun.
Yeah, it was I think it's worth the watch if you like that shit. We forgot to do this last week, but Fridays are for the Mando.
Yep. Whose man's is this? Our famous section that we forgot last week, but I didn't forget. I just didn't watch it last week because I had a lot of homework and I didn't have time.
So we two also episodes. Forgot. Yeah. So
Ahsoka Tano, pretty cool.
Badass.
Liked her a lot.
Yeah, solid.
Can't wait to see her again. Rosario Dawson is like...
If we ever see her again.
I assume we will.
It seemed like we don't need her anymore because we got the...
We got... Yeah, she was there to be like... His name's Grogu, and the whole Star Wars fan base is like, it's still Baby Yoda.
Right.
And then she was like, go to this thing, and then...
Yeah, and then she's like, I can't train him, because he's got, like, attachments to the Mando.
He likes you.
Yeah, and so...
What's the main, like, the Mandalorian's name?
I looked it up, like, three times, like, this week, and I still can't, like, remember it.
The original,
Din...
Jin?
Jaren?
Is it D-J-I-N?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Jin...
Din Djarin?
Din Djarin?
Din?
It's just
D-I-N.
Okay, yeah, Din Djarin.
Yeah, and then D-J-A-R-I-N. Din Djarin.
Okay, Djarin, nice. Yeah, so...
You just gotta practice.
So Grogu, or Baby Yoda, has attachments to Din Djaru, or the Mandalorian.
Djarin.
Djarin.
Yep.
And so he has to take him over there. Anyway.
And so that's like what...
Are her like white lightsabers part of the Clone Wars?
I think that's like...
Or like at the end,
Rebels.
Maybe?
Rebels. But she normally... I thought she had green before.
I thought she did have green. Maybe like at the end of like that series, she gets white.
Perhaps. I really like that she's got one that's shorter than the other.
I didn't notice that.
But yeah, I think it's for more for like stabbing motions. But
she's still like, this sick. Is my stabby lightsaber, yeah, and this stabby, is my swipey lightsaber. This is
my swingy lightsaber. So I just think that's cool. You know, it's like... There's a lot of double world lightsaber Jedis and Sith and whatnot, but that's like a little different, and I think that's neat.
They're pretty close because I didn't notice at all.
Right, I think I was looking at toys for Ahsoka Tano, so it was like I noticed that.
Hmm. I like that the Mandalorian armor can like stop a lightsaber.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
But at the same time, it's like I feel like there needs to be more stakes for Din.
It's a little bit of what I have heard the phrase plot armor.
Plot armor?
Yeah. And it's like almost literally.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to die because the show's about him.
Yeah.
I feel like there are stakes though. Like I get worried about things.
Yeah.
But it's not like all around him.
Yeah.
You know, so he could get injured.
I just would like to see if he gets shot that it would hurt a little bit more rather than him being like, oh,
yeah,
man, this hurts.
He
like,
got blown up once.
Like in the third episode where he's with the other Mandalorian people.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're all like, we're pinned. And he's like, I have an idea. And he just walks out and gets shot a bunch before he throws like a grenade.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so then why don't they just like walk up and fucking kill everybody? But it's not a big deal.
I don't think they all have Beskar. His is Beskar.
Yeah. So anyway, that episode was good. And then the episode that came out this week with Daddy Boba Fett. Did you see his dad bod?
Definitely a little bit of dad bod.
Love it.
And
then there was the force tornado thing that was going on.
Yeah, the force light.
The force
cylinder thing.
Cylinder.
That he was just kind of vibing in.
I wonder who... Yeah, he was just vibing in there.
He was just chilling.
His vibe was immaculate.
It was like he was in a massage chair. He's like, don't touch me. I don't want to move.
Dude, that's a representation of just untouchable vibes.
And I guess he was like calling other Jedi, or he was doing something with the force.
He was feeling the other Jedi.
Yeah, he was definitely reflecting out his good vibes.
Yeah.
He's like, come here, I have good vibes.
Yeah. I like that. Well, it's crazy that the Razor Crest got blown up.
Yeah, that sucks.
You think they'd want to keep that for this Christmas season? Like that TikTok where it's like I saw the Lego Razor Crest.
Is it sick?
It looks great. And then there's like memes of like, here's a more accurate one. And it was just like a bunch of random Legos on the floor.
Yeah.
Because it was like blown up. And I thought that was funny. But I like that Boba Fett got his armor back. That was like very exciting for me.
Dude, that was sick when we saw like Slave One was still a thing.
Slave One, dude.
I was like, oh my God.
I had that Lego thing. I was telling Sophia, I was like, babe, I had this Lego thing. It flies like super fucking weird, but it's still cool.
Yeah, you can't.
She's like, I don't care.
Well, I don't care about you.
No, she's super invested in it, which makes me happy.
That's good.
When Boba Fett like had his like armor on and like the two like stormtrooper ships were flying away, I was like, oh my God, he's going to use his rocket.
I've never seen that used until Din got his thing, and then he just uses his all of a sudden.
Yeah, the like little tracker thing comes down in front of the eye.
Yeah.
And like as soon as I saw them flying away and I saw that one was a little bit higher than the other, I was like, oh my God, babe, he's going to shoot his rocket and then one's going to hit the other. And she was like, he has a rocket? And I was like, yeah, he's going to bend over. He's going to like bend over a little bit and he's going to shoot it. And then it happened and I was like, yeah. Like, I saw him shoot and I was like, oh my God. And it hits. And then the other one hit the other one. I was like, ah! Like, I was freaking out.
I was also very drunk. Because he, like, aimed for the bottom one.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh yeah. He said he tried to aim for the bottom one.
I wasn't aiming for that one.
Which is funny.
And so, what was kind of odd that, like, they had, like, an agreement when they were fighting at first that he'd ensure the safety of the child. And then they ended up taking the child. Like, those dark troopers.
Yeah.
Like, come down and grab him. Mm-hmm. And then, and so, like, now Boba Fett's just, like, indebted to the Mandalorian. I'm like, he definitely could have just bounced.
Yeah, he's like, sorry, man, I didn't know that this was, yeah. This is anyway.
The dark troopers.
He probably knows that Moff Gideon's not a good guy.
Probably.
And so he should probably try and stop him anyway.
Yeah. Like, I don't know about the dark troopers, though. I think that's just, like, taking it, like, a step kind of far. As far as, like, your reinforcements, just these things that are, like, really tough to beat.
They're, like, just robots.
Yeah.
They're just droids, right?
They're just droids that look like stormtroopers.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that. Hopefully they don't go too much into that, because I feel like that's...
I'm sure there's going to be a fight with them, and they're going to be, like, really tough.
I hope that it's, like, only specific to, like, Moff Gideon's, like...
I think so. Because he had them in, like, on his ship or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But... I'm trying to think of, like, an example where, like, there was one thing that was good and they took a step farther and it was, like, too much.
Droidicas.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Is that the ones with the force fields?
Yeah.
Yeah, how's that fair?
Yeah, exactly.
But
which anyway. Is, you'd think that they would have
droidicas. I still like those things, though.
I still like them, too. They're awesome, right? But, like, they're super annoying in LEGO Star Wars. Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
It's... But, like, there's a reason that they probably didn't carry those forward.
Sure.
I mean, it was a prequel, but you'd think that they would be
maybe whatever. That's old technology or something.
It could be. I don't know. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, at one point, is it, like, too much?
And there's so many troopers. There's, like, dark troopers, and there's death troopers, and yeah. There's Sith troopers.
When you can make, you know, clones like that, I feel like that's better because you know that they're people.
Yeah, because it's not, like,
just, like, people fighting robots.
I thought, like, they got rid of droids because they ended up being, like, so flawed or something. And that was the reason why. Or they got too expensive or something. And that's why.
Oh, in the prequels?
Yeah, and that's why they're all, like, clones. I think I looked it up, maybe. And that's why they're all clones, like, in the original trilogy.
That makes sense.
So, I don't know.
I don't know either. But anyway, good show.
Good show. Another episode tomorrow. Or today when this comes out?
Yes.
Is that the 7th episode?
Yep, second to last.
So there's probably no more filler episodes. So something will happen.
So we're getting down to business. I feel like there's only like 2 or 3 filler episodes, whereas last season it was like all filler until like the last 2 episodes.
Right.
So.
I agree.
Anyway, good show.
Good show.
Did you watch anything else?
No, didn't have time.
Yeah, me neither.
Or didn't make time. Anyway. So...
Now, we're going to go into what we're reading next week.
I had some ideas.
Okay.
So, we're getting down to getting pretty far into December, so we should definitely do some Christmas stuff.
Yes.
So, I wrote down some ideas. I looked up some stuff.
For Christmas stuff?
Christmas comics.
Okay.
So, you came up with the idea of reading Klaus. Looks like it's spelled Klaus.
Klaus.
Whatever. By Grant Morrison.
Yep.
Totally down for that. We could do that, or we can have like an episode where we do like multiple Christmas specials. Because they're all like one issue.
They're basically trades.
Like the Hellboy one, that's like 24 pages. There's not a trade, though. There's
Daniel.
A Larfleeze Christmas special.
I love that Christmas special, dude.
See, that'd be fun to do. There's a Power Man and Iron Fist one. It's called Sweet Christmas.
Oh, I think I read that one as well.
there's like an Archie. There's plenty of Archie shit. But they're like old Archie comics. So I don't know if I'd be down for that necessarily.
Yeah.
There's that DC holiday special that came out like a couple years ago.
There's one that came out like this week.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We could do that too.
It's like 80-page special.
And then my last idea was the trade title for Battle Pug is War on Christmas.
War on Christmas?
Yeah, it's like Battle that. Pug, and then Volume 1, War on Christmas. So I don't know what that's about. Did you read Battle Pug?
I read the first issue, and it's pretty good, actually. It had a Chris Samnee cover.
Wow.
So we actually.
So we could do that.
I think we should do a Wonder Woman this week, because or not this week, at some point this month, because the movie comes out on Christmas.
Maybe like the...
Maybe the week after. I don't care.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, cool.
Because then at that point, Christmas will be over.
Hold on. Let me look at the holiday special that came out today.
It was DC?
It was a DC's Very, Very Merry Multiverse.
Was it a like a prestige format?
It was 86 pages. Lots of good people on there. Tom King's on there. David Walker. John Layman got a story on there, which is cool.
Oh, cool. All
right. Friend of the show, Ivan Cohen. There's artists like Dustin Nguyen on there.
We could do that and then like the Lifelies one.
I'm down.
How long is the Lifelies one? Is it like a normal issue?
I think that's a normal issue. I love the Larfleeze one so much.
So dumb. I love how there's like a whole trade for him.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason. And I can get into that next week, but.
Oh, this is by Jeff Johns too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Brett Booth. All right. Yeah. You want to do that? Cause that's 26. So it's like 80 something pages. And it's like 100 something pages. We can do another one too, if you want. They don't have to all be DC. So maybe
but
like.
It's the DC week.
Yeah, okay. I guess it's fair. But, like,
by let's the just time... Let's just stick with that, I feel like.
Let's throw Hellboy in there, too.
Okay.
Then it's, like, 120 pages.
Is the Hellboy one just one?
Yeah, it's just called... Just put type in Hellboy Christmas, and it's just one issue. And then we can do, like, Klaus, like the...
A Christmas Underground.
So we got next week, and then the week before that will be Christmas... Or the week after that will be Christmas week.
So then the next week we'll do Klaus?
Correct.
Because that will come out on Christmas.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I like it.
I'm excited.
I don't think there's enough
there won't content be
to do like 4 weeks of Christmas stuff, but...
No.
Cool. Sounds good.
Cool. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yep. Hope you learned something today.
Yes. This was definitely a grimmer episode, which works for us because it's like raining outside.
Yeah. Very, very, very sad vibes.
Yeah. And we watched Jojo Rabbit. We're very gloomy. Lots of Nazi content.
A lot of World War II stuff.
Yeah.
We're like dads. Anyway. Email us. Tell us what you want us to read.
TradeWaiterspod@gmail.com.
Would you like to close out?
Let's do it together. Okay.
All right.
We're TradeWaiterspod on Twitter.
More like Nate Thick on Twitter.
Okay, ready? We'll do mine. Ready? More like Nate Thick on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Spelled with two C's.
Two C's.
Daniel's at...
Real
Daniel Alejandro on Instagram and dot Alejandro
Daniel Alejandro on TikTok.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Okay.
God, we're so good at this.
I didn't like that.
Me neither. Anyway, thank you, Nathan Moss, for music.
Yeah, our theme, the rest of the music I did.
Yeah,
don't forget.
You did some music. Yeah. And then you also ripped one from some dude.
Hey, that.
I heard that theme somewhere else.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like, wow.
I heard it on like a YouTube like thing that some dude threw together.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah. Like, and so I was like, oh, that's us.
Anyway.
So, yeah. All
right. Bye, guys.
Bye.